We are going to kick off the new module with a session about how to overcome fear. What actually is fear? That's a question that every one of us has probably asked at least once. Fear is one of those emotions that is with us from birth to our last day, whether we like it or not. It is a textbook example of something that can either kick us or bring us to our knees. Fear is there to protect us, but sometimes it seems to take personal freedoms, and instead of protecting us, it just throws sticks under our feet. Let's take a closer look at this phenomenon and explore it to its depths. Fear has been with us since prehistoric times. It's been our faithful companion when we've had to run away from a tiger, or when we've stood outside a cave wondering if something creeping inside means a chance for dinner or a quick end. Fear then served as an alarm, something like a siren and a flashing red light in one screaming at us, "Watch out! Watch out! This isn't right! Get out of here or get ready to fight!" We survived as a species because of this feature. However, the challenge today is that rather than a hidden tiger, it could be the boss in a Monday meeting or our favorite customer is on the phone, so the alarm has remained, but its triggers have changed a bit, yet it still triggers the same tsunami of feelings. Fear could be divided into two main types, physical and psychological. Physical fear has always been easier. This is the type of fear where we are afraid of a specific thing, like heights, spiders, injections, thunder, or a small suitcase forgotten on the bus. Physical fear is when that familiar reaction to danger runs through your body. Your heart starts racing, your hands sweat, your breathing quickens, and your body feels like a spring ready to burst. It's pretty clear what to do here. You either run or you resist. This actually makes it quite easy to set up. This kind of fear, paradoxically, really likes us and just wants to warn us that we should be careful. Then there is the psychological fear, which is not so simple. Psychological fear is a tricky one. It's often not connected to anything specific, so it doesn't really give you a chance to sort it out and move on. It's the fear of rejection, failure, or even embarrassment on a first date. It's a feeling that can sometimes wake you up at 3 in the morning and start playing all kinds of catastrophic scenarios in your head. It could be the fear of being alone, of the unknown, or of pushing your own boundaries. It's just a mental ninja that just appears out of the shadows and says, "Hey, I'm here to make your life a little more complicated." But what's even more interesting is how fear affects us. They say fear is a great motivator, but it's also a master at holding us back. It can block our decision-making so much that instead of moving forward, we stay stuck in place. Let's take a look at an ordinary situation. You feel like asking your boss for a promotion. Doesn't sound that complicated, does it? But what if fear starts to cut you into little pieces? What if he turns me down? What if he laughs at me? What if I look like a jerk in front of him? And suddenly, you're counting the hours and months, and instead of going after your goal, you're still sitting at your desk waiting for a miracle to happen on its own. And there are countless examples of this. Fear also affects our physical health, which is kind of ironic. It's supposed to protect us, but when it overreacts, it can paradoxically destroy us. Chronic stress and anxiety caused by constant fear can lead to high blood pressure, weakened immunity, difficulty sleeping, or even heart problems. Fear itself, then, affects us from all sides, mentally and physically. It's a kind of training parasite. It shows you that something is wrong, and yet it also drains you. On a psychological level, we are no better off. If we allow fear to take control of our thoughts, it can trap us in a cycle of uncertainty and doubt. And once fear settles in the mind, the consequences begin to show itself: anxiety, depression, feelings of failure, and loss of meaning. In short, it makes you into the kind of partner that won't let you go anywhere. What about social relationships? Fear also affects those. Fear of rejection can lead to an exaggerated desire for approval, while other people can become so paralyzed that they close down and isolate themselves. But the good news is that fear doesn't have to be our enemy forever. Yes, sometimes it can seem like an unbeatable boss in a computer game, but the truth is that it can be worked with. Learning how to recognize fear, name it, and gradually overcome it is one of the best skills you can learn. And no, you don't have to become a superhero who isn't afraid of anything. You just need to learn to negotiate with fear. Because when you do, fear stops being the bully in the corner and becomes more of a sort of mentor that warns you when it's really needed. So the good news is, although this uninvited guest will stay with us for life, we can throw a leash on him and have control over him, because fear is just energy. And where does this fear come from? Where does it come from, that strange, sometimes incredibly annoying feeling that can paralyze and shut us down like an old vacuum cleaner that's overheated? Fear may be part of our human nature, but its roots can be quite twisted and expanding. Let's dive into its fascinating anatomy together, because once we understand where it comes from, we can begin to work with it. Evolutionary and biological basis. Let's start from the ground up, from our evolutionary background. You know, they say the oldest instincts are the strongest. Fear is one of them. It has a very clear goal: survival. Imagine our ancient ancestors, caves, wild nature, constant danger. Back then, it wasn't about the fear of a job interview with the boss or how the weekend football game would turn out. Back then, it was about not getting hunted by a saber-toothed tiger. And it was out of this prehistoric reality that the mechanism called fight, flight, or freeze was born in our brains. When we find ourselves in a dangerous situation, our brains sound the alarm like sirens in a firehouse. A decision? Either fight or flight, or you'll end up in the saber-tooth's grasp. And now you're thinking, okay, why do I still feel this ancient mechanism before, say, an important date? Well, the brain hasn't upgraded yet, and it still takes some modern situations as life-threatening. Evolution is smart, but it's not fast. Family equipment, aka DNA and genetic interference. Some of us pack extra baggage in the form of family gear. Yes, I'm talking about genetic legacy. It may seem unfair, but if your parents or grandparents struggled with anxiety and chronic fear, you're more likely to have it too. Genetics leaves us not only with eye color and the ability to sing in karaoke, but also with certain predispositions to manage or not manage fear. But the good news is that genes aren't a fixed judgment either. If it runs in your family, you can fight it. And anyway, it's not the end of the world. Personal experiences or records that burn themselves into the mind. Another huge source of fear lies in our own experiences, in our personal archives. A childhood trauma, an ugly experience from the past, a painful loss, all can settle in the mind like a spider in the corner of the bedroom. For some, it may be seeing a dog from a distance because they were once afraid of that growling wolf in the garden as a child. For others, it's a cycling injury that will forever remind them of their fear of speed. The body and mind remember what once threatened or injured us and give us a warning. Don't go there again. Remember what happened last time? And not only traumatic experiences, even ordinary situations can cultivate fear in us. If your mom always jumped up in her chair whenever she saw a mouse when you were a kid, you probably watched her, and you might have adopted that reaction too. What a family fear workshop. Friends, movies, and the modern world. But no, fear doesn't just develop internally, from our experiences. Another big fear maker is the society we live in. Culture, media, and external influences create a hefty package of fears, and we may not even notice it. Let's give an example. Have you ever wondered why a lot of people are scared of snakes or spiders? In many cases, culture is behind it. Horror movies, scary stories, or warnings from parents lead us to learned fears that often have nothing to do with reality. Now imagine you're watching the news tonight. An avalanche of dramatic reports, unsettled weather, threats from around the world. Is it any wonder we feel like there's one problem after another hiding around every corner? Our minds today are wrestling with so many stimuli that sometimes they create fears when they are not really relevant. What about our own minds? Yes, this machine that otherwise helps us manage our daily tasks is also a bit of a fearmonger. We tend to think about the future. What if something goes wrong? And what if I can't do enough? Sometimes our thoughts switch to a disaster movie scenario and we start to believe it all. We perceive what could be as what is certain to be. This is how many anxieties arise. Additionally, if we have a psychological illness, such as generalized anxiety disorder, our thinking naturally slides towards worry. But the good news is that we can find ways to work with this. Therapy, meditation, different techniques are all super tools to fix this part of the brain processes. Conclusion: is fear the enemy or the teacher? So where does the fear come from? There is no simple answer. Fear has hundreds of faces and can come from evolutionarily old systems, experiences, or our own minds. But here's the great thing. Even though fear can be annoying at times, it's not automatically bad. It's a signal to our body and mind that something is wrong. And trust me, that signal can be worked with. Fear can be understood, accepted, and gradually transformed. Let's dive into practical part. The good news is that we have fear in our heads and we can work with it. And I'll tell you how. Let's play a three-person game. The first person will be you. The second person will be fear. And the third person will be an independent spectator who's just passing out comments. This is how it works. Find a place with two chairs or pillows on the floor. Decide where you will sit and where the fear will sit. Sit in the chair you have chosen. Experience the situation from your point of view. Sit your fear opposite you. What do you see and hear in the place where your fear is in front of you? What is going through your mind? What are your feelings? Is there something important you can't miss? What does your fear look like? What color is it? What shape does it take? Does it speak to you? Does it make sounds? Does it smell? What do you want to say to your fear? Is there something else you want to say or something you feel? Take a little break. You will now play the role of your own fear. Sit in the other chair and be an actor playing your own fear. What do you see in front of you? What do you hear? What are your feelings? What do you want to say to your owner? Why do you do what you do? What is the result? Is there anything else? Take a little break again. Put yourself in the role of a completely independent spectator and look at the chairs where fear sat and where the owner of fear sat. What advice would you give yourself? What insights do you have from the conversation between the two? Do you have any recommendations? What else can you think of? Now go back inside yourself and think about what you found out here. Write it all down. What specific things did you find out? Which of the recommendations will you apply? How do you perceive your fear now? Is there anything you have understood? Is there anything you need now?